Hey everybody, and welcome to Authors and Dragons, where a group of comedic fantasy writers get together and try to make it through a whole game of Pathfinder without accidentally dying. Let's see if we pull it off this week. As always, the odds do not look great.
Hi, I'm Joseph Brassi. I play the role of Bjorg Bjornsson, enthusiastic and charismatic barbarian. I was one of seven authors on the Mongoliad Project, and I am working on a novel called Dragon's Road.
Hi, I'm Rick Gualtieri. I play Silas Kane, mighty paladin of Toreg, and I am the author of Bill the Vampire, Bigfoot Hunters, and I am a part of the Indomitable Seth, the Indomitable Ten, that is, if I can learn to count, which is coming out on March 5th.
Hello, my name is Robert Bevan. I play the role of Klaus Richter, the Rogue. In real life, I write the comedy fantasy series of novels and short stories called Caverns and Creatures. It begins with the first novel, Critical Failures. We have a new release, recently released last week, called Genital Harpies. Enjoy.
Hi, my name is Rob Cruzy, and I play Kutharic the Lost, a rather unpleasant and surly dwarven cleric who tries to keep the rest of these guys alive. In real life, I am the author of the Dis series of books, starting with Disenchanted, Disillusioned, Dystopia, maybe other ones in the future, and a bunch of other novels. That's me.
Hi there, I'm Steve Weverell. I play Brandon Firemaster, monk and frustrated exotic dancer. And in real life, I write the comedy fantasy series The Doomsayer Journeys.
And I am Drew Hayes, the pilot of this plane that has very clearly caught fire mid-flight. I am the author of Superpowers, Fred the Vampire Accountant, the NPC series, and Corpies, which is coming out in April. I'm also a part of the Indomitable Ten, same as Rick, and that is coming out on March 5th. And when last we left I'm going to say intrepid, but I think we all know I'm being nice. When last we left our intrepid adventurers, they had, after 14 fucking episodes, finally arrived at Caldern, the first town they set out.
Well, and that's a nice time to go.
Yeah.
This place sucks, let's leave.
It's only a model.
Head to God, at this point, nothing would surprise me. But it is a port city. It is right by the ocean. It is bustling. There are very large areas to explore, although a fair amount of them are manufacturing and housing. From where you are all entering, there are three paths cutting through the city. And luckily, they have understood that a lot of strangers come here, so there are nice signs written in common. And your options, from where you stand, are to go toward the market district, the town center, or the port.
I'd like to search for bandit tracks.
Roll me a perception.
First roll of the night. Okay, Klaus rolls a 7.
All right, with a 7, you look down at the stone path that is being tread upon by literally dozens of travelers, yourselves among them, and realize that, no, you can't figure out what someone's method of occupation is just by looking at their footprints.
Silas is like, stop with that foolishness. We have a whole city of people to be saved here.
I don't know. Bjorg is kind of interested in finding a place to stash our shit.
Yep.
Oh, and looking to finding some sort of inn.
Roll me an intelligence check. Or knowledge local if you have it. Also, Silas, just as an FYI, that symbol that you've been clutching a lot is beginning to get just like a touch warm. Like Toreg's love is radiating off of it.
Oh, speaking of which, what I just said to Klaus, obviously you didn't hear that.
Yep, no one heard shit. No one has touched your symbol.
Bjorg rolled a 13 in the intelligence check.
You know that, given these three options, town center is the most likely to have an inn or someone who can point you toward one, as a shopping district and a port are not so likely to have accommodations.
Brilliant.
Excellent.
How warm is this thing getting?
Just like a faint warmth. Like you know, it's still late in the day, the sun's still in the sky. So you're feeling it like maybe it was in the sun a little longer than you realized.
Oh, then Silas just clutches that much closer because it's obviously the warmth of Toreg.
That it is.
Is he overloading it already? I get the impression he's gonna... I don't know how powerful this enchantment is, but it's probably only so much bullshit it can handle.
I think we should head to the city center.
Is this town pixelated, or am I? Is there something wrong with my vision?
No, it's pixelated.
Yeah, look, it's an overmap. I didn't fucking have time.
Okay. Sorry, I'm blinking my eyes here, and I'm like,
what the DM's telling us is we're not worth 300 DPI.
Yeah. It is a good representation, though. It's got that little river I described going all the way around it with the bridge you had to cross, and so I liked it. I was just like, but I mean, this is as big as it came, and I wasn't spending money on you fuckers.
I cut my arm on a pixel.
So Bjorg is going to begin, I guess, heading towards city center.
Silas agrees with that. That's the best place to find converts.
Well, seeing as you two are the ones holding the carts, that pretty much means everybody else is going with you.
I'll whip Silas onward.
You're still whipping. In full view of the public now.
I'm whipping as is needed.
Silas is singing out silent hymns.
Yeah, he is letting him go.
You see him clapping along to a beat that's not there.
Oh. Is anybody throwing money yet? Is this something we can capitalize on?
whenever Silas looks up at me, I start clapping too.
Do you stop whipping as you clap, or do you try?
I don't want to let on that nobody can hear him.
Just rhythmically whipping away.
Okay, I was going to make you roll a dex check if you tried to whip and clap. All right. So, Bjorg and Silas lead you all into the town center.
Yay! Thank you.
So you arrive at the town center. It is more cobblestones, a lot of big buildings. You see three of them linked together. Very visibly, people are bringing their horses around and paying a stable fee. You see a man out in front of the middle one hawking turkey legs and mead, and at the far end it's very plainly an inn. There's just like a lot of keys. I don't know what the symbol for inn is. It's an inn. You know an inn when you see one. The building off to the right appears to be some sort of guard station, and all of the smaller buildings are actually just tents. Where you see people set up hawking wares, screaming about how this potion will make you invincible, and this sword is guaranteed to slay a dragon. It's standard shit. And then in the center of the town square, very, very prominent, there's a raised platform. And on it are seven guards surrounding it on all ends, except for the front where there are stairs. And one man in robes, sitting at a desk, managing a large pile of documents, and then there are, you see adventurers coming up, talking to him, just standing in a line, talking to him for a little bit. Sometimes they'll hand him gold, sometimes he'll hand them gold, sometimes they'll take a paper, sometimes they'll hand it back, but it just seems to be some sort of exchange going on in the middle of the town.
This is the DMV.
Maybe he's up there seeking salvation.
Well, Bjorg is going to start trundling towards that inn.
Okay,
You mean the stables?
Stables, whatever. Shut up.
Yeah.
He's shutting up.
What exactly are you going to stable?
Maybe Silas? I mean, he wanted to the last time.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've got him.
Extra horse shit, please.
Silas, do you go along with Bjorg? Because you two are pretty much leading the party, seeing as you're dragging the cart.
Well, we're still heading in the same general direction, so yeah.
Okay. Everybody ride along. No complaints.
I'd like to listen as we pass the upraised platform thing and see if I can make out what's going on.
Roll me a perception check.
All right, Klaus rolls. All right, Klaus rolls an 18.
Holy shit, that's really good, man. Okay, right. With an 18, you are able to hear him talking to an adventurer, and they are haggling over the price of what is apparently a cursed coin pouch. That turns gold into silver, silver into copper, and copper into dirt.
All right. And how's the haggling going? Does the person want to buy this pouch, or is he...
No, he seems to be turning it... It looks like he's turning it in, but they're just quibbling over how much he should get for what he's calling the service to the city.
Okay. All right. Okay, I see.
You can roll me an intelligence check with a low DC.
Yeah, all right, I'll do that. All right, Klaus rolls a 13.
Okay, with a 13, you remember that Caldern is suffering from a influx of cursed items washing up from the sea, and more than likely there's a bounty on such things, and this man is trying to collect one.
Intriguing. Do I hear what prices are being offered?
He wants 10 gold for it. The man in the robes is quibbling that is a very, very minor cursed item and wouldn't cause any wide-scale destruction, and it is worth no more than 8 gold.
Wow. Oh, take that one. All right. Cool.
Brandon will like to point out at this point we should unencumber ourselves of material possessions at the earliest opportunity, especially since we don't actually have any horses to pull this cart.
Hey, some of us don't have material possessions either.
You have gold. Silas is a material possession.
And you get a cut of the stuff.
Yeah, I wonder if we can sell Silas's. I was about to say maybe we could sell his cursed icon, but no, that'd be a terrible idea.
Yeah, it would be a terrible idea. No.
Fortunately enough, when you walk in, there is some representatives from the Merchants Guild within the three buildings, and they are an elf, a human, and a gnome, and they all seem to huddle up and talk before every decision. And rather than making you guys RP out all of the minor bullshit on it, I'll let you pick. You can either have someone take a diplomacy roll at it to try and get the best price possible for all your shit, or you can roll a D100, and whatever you get, it's that times 10.
What do you guys want to do?
Does anyone have diplomacy?
I like diplomacy.
D100.
What? let me check. I think Bjorg might have diplomacy.
Yeah, Bjorg was our spokesman last time.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to get a D100 times 10 on... So 1,000 gold would be your max for all the little shit on that. Mm-hmm. Probably going to be real hard to get that with diplomacy. But on the other hand, you'll definitely get more than 10 gold, which you would get in the low end.
Do you guys want me to roll diplomacy?
If you roleplay it. A little.
All right, let me see here.
Wait a minute, can we back up diplomacy with intimidation?
If you roleplay a little.
I mean, you are gonna have to. I'll definitely want to hear the RP of it.
All right, so.
All the time that Bjorg is negotiating, Brandon's just sitting on top of the cart, just flexing furiously.
Just like changing positions every few minutes.
Klaus will juggle.
All right.
As an intimidator, right, just for fuck's sake.
I just keep him on edge.
Okay, dex check from Klaus, intimidate check from Brandon Thymaster.
Brandon Thymaster rolls a 10.
Your pecs are going soft there.
The body's hard, but they think you might be trying to tantalize rather than terrify.
Klaus rolls a natural 1.
Roll me a d20, Klaus.
I'm waiting until this is done before I roll my diplomacy check.
Where is that? Oh, that's... Klaus rolls an 18.
Good news, you were not juggling daggers. You were juggling apples that you picked up from nearby. And you slipped, and one of them cracked you right in the head, and the other two came bounding down also on your face, leaving you a little uncertain of yourself.
Let's roll this check.
That's distraction right there.
It is distracting.
Alright, Bjorg rolls a 14 on diplomacy.
Okay.
So.
Alright.
We have goods to sell!
Well.
Good goods.
With one guy flexing... One screaming into silence and the other dropping apples on his face. They think that maybe you're running some sort of adventure or help program for people who can't normally adventure. So they'll take that 14 and think the best of you, and they will go ahead and give you, we will say, you guys got a fair amount of armor and rapiers, 500 gold to split between you.
Does this include our cart and our wackity potion?
Are you selling the cart?
Are we selling Silas?
If we sell everyone else, do we need the cart?
Yeah, I don't think we need the cart.
Okay.
I say we sell the cart. We're not selling my sack, though, are we?
No.
Yeah. My sack. Can
I keep the whip?
And the whip.
They say it's 15 for the cart without the whip, 14 for the cart with the whip. 15 for the cart. With whip, 14 if you keep the whip.
All right, so I'll get a stick or something.
The important thing is that Klaus maintains the ability to properly abuse Silas.
I don't think that was ever going to be like a super issue. All right, everybody gets 103 gold.
All right.
Three.
How much oil does that buy?
All right, so while you're there,
not enough for Brandon.
Yeah. These guys are pretty boring, but they will explain to you that any basic goods you need, so like tack, water skins, bed rolls, yes, lantern oil, Klaus. All the basic stuff you can buy here at the inn. There's a resupply area. But if you want to deal with anything of higher grade, so if you want to sell or buy anything magical or masterwork or basically more than just the basic necessities, weapons and armor included, you're going to have to go to the merchant area because that's where most... And they whisper, don't waste your time on the assholes right outside. That's for tourists. Because again, they think Bjorg is trying to do some good in the world.
He is trying to do something to some good in the world.
Yeah, they say they whisper kind words to you as you leave.
Oh, he completely misses the point and just thinks these are very nice people.
Oh my word, that's what we've become, isn't it? Some kind of outreach program.
Not
exactly.
Not to wolves, you're not. To this
game. Well, Bjorg is kind of at this point just staring around, the gigantic square with its host of buildings and cobbles in kind of naked awe.
Yeah, Brandon, equally impressed. I'd like to buy some stuff. Let's go shopping, guys.
How many vials of oil fit in a water skin?
Come on, losers, we're going shopping!
Cute 1980s pop bubblegum mix of the five of you just strolling down the streets.
Yes, exactly.
It's a montage.
It's a Mean Girls quote.
All right.
I need some kind of standard stuff, like rope and lamp oil. But I'd like to shop for magical stuff. So what are you guys going to do?
Okay, I'll let you know. You can buy all the standard pH stuff, like the rope, the lamp oil, etc. You can buy that straight out of the SRD at cost.
Cool. Okay.
So just look up what you need on there. Deduct your gold. I'm not gonna hold you all the ass to the fire on that one. Cool. Plus, it's boring for listeners.
Yeah. I listen to just really lonely listeners out there who want to listen to me buy rope.
How much rope?
exciting quantities of rope. Welcome to the Authors and Dragons podcast for all your rope and lamp oil buying fantasies.
And now I'm just having Boondock Saints flashbacks.
Hey, at least you can haggle with them. I got to fucking pantomime my way through a purchase.
Just shout louder, Silas.
Yeah, one of us should probably help Silas, because otherwise he's going to figure out that people can't hear him.
Yeah, he's talking to these guys, basically telling them all sorts of things that they can't hear. You know, he's like, I need some more paladin kit, a holy book of Toreg. By the way, have you read the holy book of Toreg? If not, you really should consider this. Otherwise your souls will be damned. They'll probably be damned anyway, but...
Well, okay, so are we all heading for the mercantile district then?
That seems to be the general consensus.
Okay.
All right. I will let you guys get there without issue. And you arrive at the very ornate mercantile district. There are dozens of little shops set up all over the place, as you can plainly see upon the map. There are a lot of specialty things. Like, instead of just a general weapons and armor shop, there's a shop for shields, a shop for armor, a shop for weapons, a shop for ranged weapons. There's a shop for staves, there's a shop for spellbooks, there's a shop for holy symbols, there's a shop for scrolls and books. You guys kind of, there's a shop for wondrous items.
Wondrous items.
Indeed.
I want to get a new holy book.
Well,
be of your particular sect?
These things can be, like, you know, edited.
He just cuts everything that's not the word Toreg.
anything good and positive and rewarding and beneficial, like you just take that out and put pain and suffering in instead.
There's like one page, and Toreg smote his enemies.
So, that is the spread of shops before you. There's a bunch of people milling about. The sun is beginning to get lower and lower. Silas, roll me a perception check.
Silas gets a 5.
Boy, everything is exactly as it was. There is nothing that you need to be aware of.
That's good.
This is going to be interesting. Who would like to shop first?
God, I'm still trying to figure out what Bjorg can afford.
Not much.
Not much, no.
You guys are second level characters.
My list is basically resupply myself, buy some more arrows, and load up on that on a new book of hymns.
New book of hymns.
There was an incident with a fire and him not getting out very fast.
Yeah, no. It's more. I was thinking more. Oh, okay, never mind. I was thinking like new Silas hymns. New hymns in general.
Oh,
he has to learn a whole bunch of new songs.
That's fair. I'd assume he doesn't really need his book. He's probably memorized it, I should imagine.
All right, so I guess is Silas taking the lead on the shopping? Since he's the only one with a game plan?
He's going and he's like, you know, he's chatting up like, you know, the merchants, you know, yammering away, showing off his holy symbol.
So you don't need a holy symbol, so you're going to go into the room with books and scrolls and whatnot. Yep. Okay. You walk in, there is a female gnome. Minding a whole like stack of books all along the walls. You see all kinds of books, and really this shop looks a lot bigger on the inside than it did on the outside. And you see racks of scrolls and everything, and it's very messy. But you know it's a bookshop, so that tends to happen. The female gnome looks
greetings, fair sinner.
The female gnome is still working on her thing.
Did no one go with him?
None of you said you went with him.
I'm going to oil march.
Walk up to the counter. Walk up to the counter. You know.
She looks up before you reach it. You are wearing armor, so she does hear you. Oh, sorry. Customer. Yes. How can I help you?
I wish to fulfill my life with visions of Toreg. And he's gesticulating wildly with his hands as he's doing this.
She just sort of tilts her head. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
You people are not like, you cannot be that uncivilized here.
Oh dear, oh dear, dear, dear.
God who watches over us all?
Someone put a silencing on you, didn't they? Oh, that's what you're after. You're looking for a scroll to break it.
Just fine.
See, I'm getting on in years, but I know my customers. All right, a scroll to break a silencing. Let's see. And she begins digging through the bin of scrolls. And while she's doing that, someone else can go try and take a turn at shopping.
Again, how much lamp oil can fit in a water skin?
I guess the how much water fits in a water skin.
Oh, no, I looked that shit up. All right. Or somebody else can take a turn. I got one. Brandon, Firemaster, would like to take a stroll. He's looking for a bow staff or something to that effect.
Okay. You easily find the melee weapons store.
Oh, Bjorg is following Brandon on that one because he's curious. I mean, his sword's doing him fine for now, but...
Okay. You walk in. There is a strapping half-orc who is looks to be pulling a battle axe from the forge and setting it down to cool. And he looks up. Again, this place is much bigger on the inside than it was on the outside. And you see just rows of weaponry lining it. Most of it looks passable. Some of it looks good. A few pieces look exceptional, although those are toward the back, and you have to cross the counter to get to them. He sort of looks you both up and down.
Greetings, strapping hawk, half hawk. I'm looking for something long and hard to intimidate my enemies with. I wonder if you can help me. Of suitable and robust girth. I'm sure you can recommend something for me.
You know what? I'm gonna give it a roll. This half-orc has a sense of humor, and he chuckles a little bit. And
Brandon does not know what he's laughing about at all.
So he goes over and he easily lifts up a two-handed sword and holds it out.
Long, hard, very intimidating.
I agree, Bjorn says.
Oh, not something in my particular wheelhouse. I'm looking for monk-orientated weaponry.
Sets it back down. He walks over, picks up a broom, yanks off the bristles at the end, hands you the staff.
I said monk, not janitor.
he wiggles it at you. Try.
Alright, I'm not sure. I mean, is Brandon Firemaster good enough he can turn a humble broom into a weapon of note? How would we even test that?
Well, if you accept it from him.
I'll accept it. I'll try it out.
Okay. You actually realize this is indeed a bow staff. It's very well made. It's got a nice balance to it. You have no idea why he was using it as a broom, but it absolutely is a staff.
Oh, good. How much is your ex broom?
He'll sort of turn it over. He'll take it back from you. Turn it over his hand.
5 gold without bristles. 6 gold with bristles.
I guess it would be practical to have the option of sweeping up should I need to. But then again, 6 gold does seem rather excessive for what is essentially a broom. Is there any way I can negotiate you down on this for something you've clearly just pulled out of your cleaning cupboard?
roll me a diplomacy check. See if he likes you enough. You thought you were funny. Let's see if you can parlay that.
Diplomacy, not any of our strong suits, I should say. Brandon Flymaster rolls a 19.
Oh, shit.
I'm diplomatic as fuck.
You are. He'll sort of look at him.
Have to get new broom. 4 gold, and I add the good bristles.
Oh, God, that's huge. Good bristles. I'm not turning that down. That sounds very reasonable. Thank you. I will take that.
Okay. He goes and begins to refashion bristles to the end of your quarterstaff. And you notice he's taking these out of a little box that has some markings on it. So he apparently wasn't bullshitting. He's using some fancy bristles for you. And while you two are doing that, who else would like to shop?
All right. I have discovered that I think a water skin can hold 4 vials of oil.
Fine by me.
So, I'll be buying some water skins and some oils.
Okay. Well, that's all done back at the inn. What would you like to do here?
Fine. I'll let somebody else have a turn on.
Kuthark the Lost, what would you like to do?
I think I'm going to take a look at some armor.
Armor, alright.
I believe Cathark has studded leather now, which is pretty shitty, and he's thinking he'd like to upgrade to some chainmail.
Okay. You walk in to find a very, very thin human male with like sort of a choppy cut, and he's a little startled. Customer, hi. Hi. You would like armor, I bet, right? That's why you're here?
Yeah.
He's a wizard.
What do you got? I'm a little on the short side, so if you can...
No. Caladrin's a major hub. We have the right fit for everyone. That's a motto. I don't know if that's our motto. I'm sure we can help you out. I mean, we have all sorts of armors. Are you looking for more like you have the light but flexible, or the he like looks down and checks his hand, the heavy stuff, the males.
Oh God, is this your first day on the job? Is there someone more senior?
I'm an apprentice. I'm learning the trade. I know the prices of things. I just tend to get flustered. I get flustered easily. The blacksmith is out getting more He looks down his hand again. Metal. More metal. He's getting more metal.
Right.
And, but I can absolutely help you find whatever you're looking for.
Do you have any vibranium chainmail?
Okay, I gotta look at the special materials. Is that real, or are you trying to fuck with this guy?
I'm trying to fuck with him.
Oh, God. I don't remember all the special metals in Pathfinder, so I genuinely don't know. Vibranium? No. Is that dwarven? You always have the best stuff. Sorry. The most we have is a mithril. Yeah.
That's disappointing because I've been to like six other places today, and they've all had vibranium, and I just thought I heard your place. I'm a little bit shocked, frankly, that you don't have the high quality material that I was told to expect from you. I guess that I'll have to make.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you should, by all means, we want the customer to get what they want. So go buy your vibranium. No harm, no foul. I completely understand.
So what's this mithril stuff? How much for a set of mithril chainmail?
Well, it's like a steel, but lighter, lighter, a little more flowy. You can still move around real quick. It's real popular with people who like the leather. I believe we have just the shirts, but they're still really good. Very very strong, very tough, very light, very tough. And I think what was it? It's 1500 gold is the price.
Yeah, let me think about that. I don't know. Can I take a look at it and see? If it's really fine make, then it might be worth it for me to buy that. But I don't know if I want to just throw away $1,500 on second-rate material.
Oh, of course. He reaches down and rummages a bit, and he pulls out a shirt that is very fine and very beautiful, and is bunched together at the bottom with a massive lock run through it.
So it's like it's locked, like so nobody can actually put it on.
Yes.
Oh, that's handy. Yeah, I'm gonna say that the linking of the mithril here is kind of second rate. I don't know if you can see the way that this is. They've got them lined up here. It's supposed to alternate. Between the coils to the right and coils to the left there, and you've got them all going to the right. So that's not actually... It's not technically mithril. It's the same material, but... you can't actually legally sell it as mithril. Just so you know. I mean, I don't want you to get in trouble or anything. Just so you know. I mean, that's... That piece right there is worth maybe 300. But... I don't want to tell you your business. What do you have in a just more of a cheaper kind of a standard chainmail? If I'm not going to get the top of the line, I'm going to just get something a little bit more reasonable in price, I think, and then hold off for something later on.
Oh, of course. And he
what do you got? Stows
the mithril back away and locks it up, and he will pull out the chainmail, the regular chainmail. It is also it's a shirt, and it's also bunched together and locked at the bottom. He sets it out, and he says, it's very strong. It's not as light as the mithril, but it is still, quite tough. I mean, for this piece, about 400 gold.
400? Yeah, that seems like a reasonable price for this grade of workmanship. It's not exactly what I'm looking at today, so I think I'm just gonna head out. Maybe I'll check back with you, tomorrow after I had a chance to look around a little bit more.
Oh, okay. You have a nice day.
So I'm gonna leave because I can't afford. I can't afford any of this shit.
All right, Klaus, would you like to shop anywhere, or is Klaus just sitting in the middle of the room, like slowly pouring lantern oil into a water skin?
Well, Well, that's what I've been doing. I'm also buying some regular flasks of lantern oil as well.
Oh my god.
Would you like to enter into any of the fancy shops?
No. After my lantern oil, I'm going to save my money for better things.
Fair enough. Then we go back to Silas, who sees the small woman, or the small female gnome, come up from under her desk in the bin and sets down a scroll. Says, here we are. Scroll of desilencing, you poor thing. It's a very simple spell.
Silas waves her off. It's like you must be mistaken or bewitched by your lack of godliness. I'm speaking just fine.
So it's 10 gold, and obviously since you can't cast, I'll go ahead and throw in the casting for you. It's just, it's a simple one, and even I can do it for you.
Check at this point to see the disaster that's about to unfold and put a stop to it?
I don't know that you need to.
I will talk very slowly since you were obviously addled in the brain. And he holds out his black symbol and points to it. I am looking for a book of the great god Toreg.
That is literally just the best timing ever. Klaus and Silas, I want perception checks from both of you.
Perception check coming up.
Silas gets a 3.
God.
Klaus gets a 19.
Alright, Klaus, you notice the sun is finally beginning to set. You know, you guys were taking a long trek, you had to check in your horses. Night is finally Silas coming upon Caldern. Oh yeah, your Silas horses. Night is finally hitting Caldern. The first, true night since Silas was given his holy symbol, in fact. Well, it's the first dusk since he was given his holy symbol. And inside, Silas, you, again, do not notice the increase in heat in your holy symbol for the third time. And this time, you take 2 damage as the symbol...
Thank you, Toreg!
As the symbol...
Thank you for burning me with your love!
...glows hot and then blows apart into magical dust. And the force of the impact on your hand. Everyone hears him scream, "No!" It's like it's ripping through the air.
Oh shit, we can hear Silas again.
George gets his weapons rack he was currently just kind of casually perusing and say, "Damn it!"
What have you done?
You can all hear that. Heads are turning toward the shop. The gnome in front of you is covering her ears and like frantically like flipping through stuff.
Silence spell.
She looks up at you. Lower your voice.
I'd like to lick the tip of my finger and touch the magical dust and taste it.
I would absolutely let you if you were in the room with Silas.
Okay.
You stayed outside pouring lantern oil into flask or into water skins.
There is only one way to fix this. Drop to your knees and pray with me.
God, whatever. Fine, just stop. And she goes to her knees and is just like, oh, like you can see the pain in her face.
Of course, she's like, she's finally realizing how like bleak and meaningless her existence has been till now. So I drop to my knees with her, grab her hand, and start screaming the praises of Toreg.
Within 10 seconds, she's passed out from the pain.
Oh my god. Should some of us roll an intelligence check to see what's going on here?
Yeah, you can all, as long as he's screaming, there's no check. You can all hear it. It is tearing through. You hear the clank of armor as what appear to be guards are suddenly converging down on the shopping area. Klaus can actually see a few of them racing toward the shop. They don't know what's going on. They just think some shit's going down.
Bjorg is going to head there. Do
I see the magical dust?
The dust has gone by now.
Nuts.
Sadly, Klaus cannot get addicted to a magical substance.
The love of Toreg is too much for some to handle. But don't worry. I will keep praying with you all night long if need be.
I get the impression he's just still screaming this out.
Yeah.
Alright.
Is there do any of the CD scroll at all?
You guys are still in the weapons district. He's just finished putting the new bristles on your staff and taking your money. So you have your weapon and you have been billed for it. If you would like to leave the shop.
Bjorg is gonna head in the direction of the Silas noises.
Damn it.
So Bjorg and Brandon are leaving the shop. Guards are closing in, as Klaus can see. Kuthric is also just exiting his, and all of you can hear Silas screaming his prayers to Toreg. And it's starting to give you guys a headache, and you are separated by several walls.
At this point, Brandon starts kind of sweeping and whistling, kind of surreptitiously.
Klaus would like to get to a good vantage point and watch Silas interact with the guards while eating an apple.
Bjorg, meanwhile, is going to actually head towards the strongest. Silas, what are you doing?
Are you going to race there or are you going to walk there? Because if you race there, you can beat the guards. If you walk there, they're going to get to you first.
Okay. Bjorg is going to race there. He's going to actually try to help his party mate out. God help me, I'm going to get
I'm going to walk. Kutharik's going to walk. Stroll over there.
All right. So it's Bjorg, then guards.
I'm going to move to the location, sweeping as I go, so as not to attract attention.
Then Brandon the sweeper and Kuthark the law. And Klaus is just sitting on a bench eating an apple.
And watching.
Watching the whole shit show. All right, Silas, as you are praying to Toreg in your normal loud voice, but which sounds perfectly normal to your ears, you see Bjorg race in the door.
Silas, you've panicked the guards.
Praise be, this woman, she's been infested by the spirit.
Bjorg, you now notice that he's holding the hand of a woman who is a female gnome woman who is very clearly unconscious and seems to have some blood trickling out of her ears.
Okay, is there any way... Damn it. Silas, I think you should quiet down the volume of your voice. I think your loudness is hurting her.
Loudness?
Yes, you're being very loud. I don't know. I've never met gnomes before. Is blood coming out of their ears a normal thing?
Yes!
Says Klaus.
When one first, sees the light, all things are possible. Perhaps it is the sin escaping her body.
And that is as much as you guys can get off before the guards come bursting in the door and take a look at the scene. Bjorg, you are standing there talking down to Silas, who is on his knees, still thundering through the room with his voice, holding the arm of a very passed-out shopkeeper with blood coming out of the ears. The first guardian is going to survey the situation once, draw his sword, point it at Silas, and say, "Release the citizen."
Silas, I think you should let go of her hand.
Silas, fine. He drops her hands and stands up and says, "It's perfectly fine. She's been saved."
Sir, we're going to ask you to stop screaming.
I'm not screaming. I'm talking.
Everyone can still hear it, since y'all are close enough, but it's no longer ripping through the walls. But Silas's voice is still very much magically amplified.
Okay, is there any way, do any of us see that scroll at all? Did the gnome pan out ready for him?
No. You just see, a bunch of knocked over shit on the desk, books and scrolls scattered about, guards blocking the entryway as they try and talk Silas down. And also, might I add, that was a scroll of silence, of a silence breaking. Pretty much the opposite of what you're looking for right now.
Just clutching his straws down,
I'd like to approach now.
You come up behind the guards, and with the three of you there, they take notice, and two of them turn around to face you, hands on their swords. Hey, you need to back up. We're handling the situation right now.
I think I know what happened here.
Uh-oh. Sir, I've asked you to stop screaming.
I'm not screaming. I'm talking reasonably. If I sound loud, it is only because my faith is so strong.
Somebody come.
Oh, gods.
I came into this store looking for a prayer book to the great god Toreg. Praise Toreg!
Oh, everybody winces when he says praise Toreg. He definitely goes up in volume.
This woman started speaking gibberish at me. So what I think happened is she was possessed, and I saved her.
You just know he's getting louder and louder at this point.
Yeah, the guard is like looking at you, looking at her. Oh, we're gonna have to get a cleric in here for her, sir. You are now to stay silent. The next words you speak will be in front of a judge, or we will silence you by force.
Silas, I think you should listen to the armored men.
Am I anywhere near any of the knockdown shit?
No, they are. The guards formed a barrier of entry for everybody but Bjorg, who raced over.
Is there any way that Bjorg can tell that that Silas's voice has been magically augmented? Like, should I roll an intelligence check for that, or?
I'm giving it to you guys, because he did, like, lower his voice, but it was still blasting. Like, not as bad as when he was shouting, but it's very evident that you don't think Silas could speak softly and boom like that on his own. Otherwise, you 1000% are sure he would have done it before now.
Okay, so Bjorg is gonna, like, quickly try to explain to these guys. Is there any sign of the, can he deduce, you know, more or less what has transpired with the symbol blowing up and everything, or?
That you'll need an intelligence check for.
Okay, let me just do that, because it's always funny when Bjorg tries to be smart. Oh, God, Bjorg rolled that natural one. Oh, shit.
Bjorg?
Yes?
Torag gave Silas a louder voice. He wants the message spread.
I think that my paladin friend may actually be correct. I think that his god gave him a louder voice because he wants the message spread. I don't know why, but that seems self-evident to me.
Be that as it may.
Opens his mouth like I had a comment.
Bjorg's literally just gonna put his hand over Silas's mouth. Why? Why am I the voice of reason here? Why?
God or not, we do not take kindly to people attacking our shopkeepers or causing a scene in the middle of the merchant district.
Saving them!
I would like to offer my services at this point as a cleric to assist the... assuming that I'm aware of what's going on inside there, because I arrived a little bit late.
And Brandon would like to offer his service as a janitor and clean up the mess that has been spilled.
With his broom.
Klaus would like to assist.
A roving band of clerics and janitors, nice.
And who all are you?
These are our companions.
I don't...
Oh, so you know the screaming man of Torag.
I've never seen this man in my life.
I'm not claiming any kinship with any of these guys. I'm a cleric who happened to hear screaming and
decided I wanted to
help. Roll me a bluff.
Jorg
already kind of blew your cover,
I should never bluff. Don't bluff. Never bluff. Alright, hang on.
I love that Bjorg's natural one is actually a zero.
That is one of my favorite things.
Bjorg's intelligence zero.
Too real.
Okay, bluff. I'm bluffing. Oops, did the wrong thing. Damn it, hang on. Farrakh is bluffing. It's a 16.
He kind of squints at you. So you're not with these men.
That is correct.
All right, then we need you to clear out of the area.
Well, I was hoping that I could assist the...
We have people for that, thank you. Please clear out of the area.
Oh, you have people. Oh, okay. Well, in that case, I'll just let you
deal with
it.
Is he saying dwarves
are people? Are you Yeah, what's up with the people comment? Am I not people to you?
You are a stranger, and I'm not letting you into this merchant's shop unattended. She will be taken to a kingdom healer of Caldern, where she can be properly treated.
Does this shop have
Bjorg
windows?
Bjorg is looking at Cutharic very hurt-like.
So, the guard in the room motions for one of the others to come in, scoop up the woman carefully. They gesture for Bjorg and Silas to leave, and the other two come up and flank Silas and, Brandon and Klaus. Cutharic, you have the option to walk away now, or not. It's up to you.
Cutharic!
I kind of want to sneak in and heal her just to fuck with these guys. It's like, can I get in and
oh my.
Okay, the minute you start approaching the guard holding the woman, the one who already had his sword drawn presses it to the back of your head. Excuse me, you wouldn't happen to be trying to rush in and rob this merchant, would you?
No.
Good. Then why don't you go ahead and leave right now, or we can clap you in irons with the rest.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna leave.
Okay. Guthrick's gonna walk off.
I'm leaving too.
Oh, you are not leaving.
Sorry, guys.
If you try to leave, the guard immediately steps in front of you. While we figure out what's going on with your friend, you all are going to come and wait for him. And if we have any questions, you're going to be there to answer them.
I don't have any friends.
The big one already identified you both. You can try to bluff too.
Bjorn just looks very sad.
My heart is warm.
I'm going to have to apologize to Bjorn later. I feel bad for him.
Yes, you are!
You're feeling bad at a distance now, that's the end.
Maybe the dwarf is possessed too.
Oh.
Okay,
did he really refer to me?
Aww. Alright, are you going to bluff it or are you going to roll with along. It?
I think it's time to negotiate with these guys, maybe, and as much as it pains us to do so, maybe come to Silas's defense. And have we? Can I roll an intelligence to try and put two and two together with the icon and what's happening here?
Yes, you can try and figure out if his sudden explosion of loudness is related to the magical item that silenced him for a whole day.
All right, well, let's see how this goes then. Oh, Dad. Brandon Flymaster rolls a 19.
Yeah, you're pretty sure that that symbol he got, maybe it wasn't of the finest materials. Perhaps there was a bit of a side effect from shutting off Silas's noise for that long.
Well, I would say to the guard, honorable guard person, that our friend here isn't a perpetrator, but a victim. He's been given a cursed item, which is clearly faulty, which I think was supplied by your own people.
He stares at him. Really? He leans in. Captain, you see any cursed items? And the captain looks around. Nope, nothing but merchandise.
Oh, dear.
And with that, they are going to escort you all out of the... So Bjorg and Silas are led out of the room. One guard quietly locks the shop up while the other takes the woman. And then the three guards lead the four of you, Bjorg still with a hand clamped firmly over Silas's mouth, away from the merchant district, while one stays to guard the shop while the merchant is gone. And I think that's a pretty good spot to call it for this week. It was fascinating, but listeners, don't leave us just yet. We're adding on a special new section to the podcast where we answer your questions. During this game, we've been live blogging at the Authors and Dragons Facebook page. Which is facebook.com/authorsanddragons. We're not that creative. It's very straightforward. And so now we're going to pick a few and answer them. And if you'd like to be, or if you'd like to have your question featured on the next podcast, well, come on when we're live blogging. We'll always give you plenty of notice.
Well, I'd say Emma gave us our first question, so we should probably read and answer that one.
Okay, go for it.
All right. Emma writes, given the high number of questionable decisions made in this game, inhaling corpse smoke to absorb powers, I would love to know what are the dumbest decisions, actions you have seen or made in a game, especially if it's an in-character decision that flies in the face of out-of-character knowledge that the decision-maker held, so especially if it's metagaming.
I got one for this. Relatively recently, I had a mage that decided it was a good idea to attempt to grapple a monk. That did not go so well.
I had a character who was had two traits, devout survival and devotion to people he trusted, and someone he trusted was snatched up by a wyvern, and although I knew that the wyvern nest was full of monsters, he didn't. I rolled a character roll, and his devotion won out over his pragmatism. And he died. He died. Died hard.
Several years ago, this one guy in one of my campaigns, he was a high level wizard, and he was being attacked by these bug monsters, and he was losing. He was pretty much rolling like crap. He was losing badly. He had one more round left before he would die. So the DM's like, okay, you have one more round to try something like, you know, some kind of suicide gambit to like, you know, win. And he's like, okay, I lie down. He was at the top of the flight of stairs. He's like, I lie down, so when I die, my body doesn't take any more damage.
All right, what's our next question?
Well, Trey asks for us as a group, he would love if everyone would vote on who has made the biggest bonehead decision of this game so far.
Oof.
A conscious decision, not a botch.
I guess we can roll Klaus out.
I think I might have to put in Klaus going back into the well. Once is forgivable. Twice!
The second time was when I found out there was really something down there.
You never found out there was anything down there.
Oh, I found out there were currents.
It could have been currents, man. It could have just been something you hallucinated as you were dying. So,
do we have any other contenders?
That one gets my vote, too.
Yeah, this is a pretty good one. The other one I like was when we miscalculated the number of hours in the night and didn't have somebody on watch the whole time. That was pretty classic. It was good thinking.
I would actually like to offer up two. I have one to offer up. The fact that the entire party continued to attempt to simply mutilate wolves. Very clearly, nobody had the requisite skills for it, and no one was going to do any better.
Cthulhu was a mace, too, so... Wolves.
Yeah, you guys beheaded a couple of them.
That was kind of a bonding experience, so...
Yeah, that was more fun than bad. How about when Silas grabbed the fucking evil pulsing gem barehanded?
That's up there. For all we know, that might actually be, you know, the one with the most longest-reaching consequences, because there's a demon horse building up a following out there that we still haven't dealt with.
That made perfect sense to Silas at the time.
So, yeah, everybody's dead. The horse has been moved. The only thing in the room is this evil pulsating gem. Yeah, I've got to pick that up.
He's like Steve... Actually, you know, it makes perfect sense. Silas is the Steve Irwin of evil magical objects. I'm going to touch it.
There. It does make sense in character. Yeah.
Alright, I think we can do one more.
Alright. John, who we gotta give a big shout out because he's been doing some awesome art for us.
Oh yeah, the fan has been great, guys. Go to the Facebook page to check that out.
He asks a pretty straightforward question of if any of us were to die, what would be a secondary character that we might go for next?
I've had the thought that it would be kind of fun to play a really stoned-ass druid, because I've never played one before.
I was good. I had a backup character. I wanted to stick something easy, so I had a rogue as a kind of backup, but obviously Klaus is already a rogue. But I wanted to make him kind of a kind of Edwardian English highwayman called Stan Dandyliver. That was nice. So he's my backup.
Stand you're lucky I like Brandon so much, or that would tempt me to kill you.
I might try a fighter next time.
We don't have any. We don't have any real. Aside from Cuthark, we really don't have any magic in this group. So I'd probably grab some kind of like, you know, crazed sorcerer or something.
It's quite a pertinent question because it does look like we are all going to die.
Oh. Okay, I think that's going to be it for this round. As I said, if you guys want to have your questions featured on the next podcast, make sure to hit us up during the live blog at facebook.com/authorsanddragons. We tend to hang out there and give you sneak peeks of what's coming around the bend as we play. That's everything. We thank you all for joining us, and we will see you next game. Bye!
Goodbye!
See ya.
Yep.
Later.
Authors and Dragons is brought to you under a Creative Commons license, meaning you are free to share this material so long as credit is given to the original creators, which is us, the people who are playing it. The opening music, Take a Chance, and closing theme, Master of the Feast, are both credited to Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and also used under a Creative Commons license.